Woo! I'm sorry. The distortion might be a little bad on there because I got a little too excited. This is Jane Emerald. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 676. And, it's corn! Corn! By golly! That's the topic for this, well, at least for a few minutes until I wander off into some other corner of reality. Or my reality, personal reality. Corn! I like working for the people I work for. You want to know why? Because they grow things. And when they're done studying what they've grown, they get rid of the stuff. And they get rid of it to whoever's willing to have it. And frankly, I've got kind of an in with them because I work there. I work nearby, so I've got corn today. I'm taking home some corn. And it's wonderful. Last year it was great because there was pumpkins. They did a big, huge pumpkin trial, and they grew a ton of pumpkins. And I took home, I don't remember, a lot. I took home a ton of pumpkins. And, maybe it was 2 years ago they did pumpkins. And it ended up we couldn't use most of them, so we just chopped them up and stuck them in the compost pile. And, of course, we had tons of volunteer pumpkin plants last year. Now, we never did anything with them, and they all died. But we could have kept them going. It would have been great. But we didn't. Alas. That was the decision that got made. Anyway. The whole section of my yard that's somewhat, you know, just wasted stuff. And I just as soon plant something that may have a good chance of growing. And right behind the compost heap is one of these denuded areas, probably about, maybe 20 feet square. And I've tried to grow a few things there, and it hasn't worked in the past. But I'm just going to keep on trying, digging the stuff under that doesn't work, and it'll eventually get fertilized, you know, just from dead plants being dug in there all the time. Marvelous, marvelous corn. Already called Lisa, got the pot started, this big old pot boiling, and we're going to chop those things up and toss them in, and we're going to have some corn tonight, baby. So I'm all excited. I don't mind having corn fresh either, you know, just fresh right off of the doohickey. But just pretty darn fantastic stuff. Anyway. So, there you go. My job has got so many kind of hidden bennies that you don't really consider sometimes. It's good to work in agriculture because, you know, you tend to get a lot of agricultural stuff. And if you like that kind of thing, it's wonderful work to be in because it's work that's never going to stop. We're not going to stop eating, so agriculture is never going to stop being important. Everybody always talks about the day when we'll be able to grow meat in a test tube, and I think that's kind of silly. Silly way to think, for the simple reason that when would, under what circumstances would that be more efficient, you know? Or, you know, I mean, just on a personal level, if you keep a cow and then you slaughter the cow, you know, the cow pretty much takes care of itself. To a certain degree. Now, the more you domesticate things, the more they become dependent on certain things. So you kind of want kind of free-rangey type stuff. But still, what could be simpler than having an animal that, you know, you could even put them to good use while you're doing it, you know. They're pretty good at churning up things, pooping on things, turning grass into fertilizer, and then when you're happy with what they've done there, hopefully not too long because you don't want the meat to get tough, you turn it into meat and you eat it, maybe. Man, stinking fantastic, man. I'm getting tired of this fly that's bugging me. Uh-oh, on the wrong side of the road. Thinking if I go down little country lanes or else I'd be dead now. It's just marvelous. You know, I think back to the days when I was young. I think it was my mom. I don't know how my dad got into it. I don't know if he ever really did. But we kind of got into the Farmer John operation. They started subscribing to the Mother Earth News, the old one, you know, which I think the new one's trying to be like the old one was, because they kind of lost their focus there for a while. They got kind of mass media, and it ended up getting killed, you know, as mass media things just kind of die. And instead of looking for kind of the niche that you can keep for practically forever, you know. Magazines that last for 100 years or 200 years, they tend to be niche magazines. I can think of Small Stock Journal, which has been around for over 100 years, and it still survives just fine, you know. It concentrates on the one thing it does. It has its attitude. It doesn't try to get any, it doesn't try to get expansive at all. Stuff like that. Just interesting little tidbits that just make the whole thing kind of fun. And I've thought on occasion that I would want to do a magazine. Probably not on that level. You know, as we get, is this going back to what I was saying about being complacent? People who are complacent tend to always run toward the middle. You'll tend to see the same magazines in their lives, you know. Well, I get better homes and gardens, you know. And you're going, well, that's kind of... That one used to be much more mass appeal. It's gotten a little bit more niche-y. Because if you want to survive, if you want to keep your job for a long time, that's really what you have to end up doing, is getting kind of niche-y, you know, and not getting weird about the fact that you want to be all expansive, you want to be all things for all people. You don't want to do that. The whole idea of starting a, you know, it's almost kind of like, oh, it's almost like anything else. If you're starting with kind of a group, is that first you need to know what the ground rules are, exactly what you're going to be about. Because if you don't have that firmly set, and if it ends up being just a group of people and trying to find something in common among these people, that always falls apart. It has to be around something. If it's, you know, 6502 microprocessor, you stick with that baby, you know. You don't wander off from it. I remember a magazine that I really kind of thought was cool. It was called the Computer... it wasn't the Computer Magazine. There was something like that, and it was made for older computing things, and the problem ended up being that it got fractured. It was all over the place. It tried to do too many things for too many different people, trying to keep up a subscription base. And it died. It just fell apart almost completely. And you know, these things depend on two or three different things. You know, people can get into, you know, saying, well, you're just kind of niche, and you go, that's the best part. And so we're gonna do that. Uh-oh, what's this tiki talk? Uh-oh, they're going to talk about Techie Talk topics. Goals and objectives of training, target audience, length of sessions. Invite on camp? Oh, okay. As long as it doesn't get me into trouble. Anyway, so, you know, all these things about being kind of niche-y, I find myself being very niche-y, and every time... niche things start getting really kind of trying to go mass media. And it happens all the time. It's almost nature. You want something to feel successful, so you don't want it to be a little thing anymore. You want it to get big. And I think it comes from the fact that if more people just knew about something, they would want to be a part of it. And I think we found out over time that that's not necessarily terribly true at all. You know, you tend to lose a lot of people when you start losing the niche. And you got to hang with it. Now, you can be more of a general interest thing, or you can really zero in. Now, you have to know that if it's really zeroed in, you're going to have to be very careful, because you have to have certain, you know, you have to have advertisers, you know. You want to create a target for advertisers. Like if I were to do like a computer magazine or a embedded systems magazine specifically about Zilog stuff, that would be my first advertiser. In fact, I would love for them just to be the flat sponsor of it, and that you would be providing a forum for them to come together and do some really cool stuff. And you would want Zilog to be a really heavy thing on that. Of course, you'd want people that are trying to sell solutions specifically for Zilog-ish problems. Anyway, so just neat ideas like that, things that would still kind of work. People like doing things in a, especially if it's not newsy stuff, especially if it's something that kind of lends itself to being something of a reference. The internet does poorly, I think, at being something of a visceral reference. And, you know, a lot of the things that used to make a more general magazine a little more successful, which was like classified ads and things like that, the internet does a lot better. But I still think there's, you know, I think it's a good idea to have a magazine along with a website and have the two kind of feed off of each other and have it so that, you know, people, it can feel kind of clubby in a way, which is important and good now that we found that clubs don't seem to be something of a natural state. Clubs formed because groups of people had no other way to really interface. You know, you might start a newsletter and, you know, stuff like that, but it was mostly just people in a locality getting together around a common subject. And we find out that when you have other avenues of communication, a lot of the need to have a club starts falling apart. You know, at least a localized, let's get together and see each other's faces sort of club kind of went pahoobits, you know. It just wasn't necessary anymore. But in some ways, that's good. You know, you need to have those things on occasion. You might have a gathering of people around this. We find that's true. I have a ZX81, and I like a ZX81 because it's really the last neat little computer that you can build by hand. You know, it doesn't have specialized parts that you have to pay a lot of money for and go out and find the specialized parts. Relatively modern, relatively neat little computer, but that almost anybody can take a pile of silicon chips and whack together this computer based on the Z80A, I guess, microprocessor. I think it runs at like 3.5 or 3.6 megahertz. Just a cool little system. And there's still some good resources on the internet. I need to pull all those down and archive them just so they're not lost. Because it's really great to be able to have that capability to say, you know what, I can do this. And you can add stuff to it. It's really simple. You don't even have to keep the form factor anymore, because the form factor was never really a big issue ever. And you can always come up with your own way of connecting things to it, or just put it all on one big board. And it came with BASIC, which is really important. I think I would try to get a there was several little pieces of there was a couple of disk drive units for it. I think I would have to try and pull one together again. I think I'd be much more interested in trying to do something around compact flash or SD or MMC type of sticks for something to be able to do some cool storage on it. Although you really didn't need to. A guy named, what was his name, Wolf? It's a guy in Germany. And the ZX81 type of thing really has a great following in Germany. And the guys come with all the things that they've kind of waffed up to put together with the ZX81. The thing is, it's just so darn simple, yet it can do the job. You know, it's not going to ever be a really fast system. You know, it'll never be just a kick butt. Although, let me tell you, going with the Z80 was fantastic because there's Z80 chips that are really, 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 really quick. And just fantastic. I really wish they would open source the BIOS for the Z80, because it was really kind of a cool little, almost as minimized as you can get them type of system. Although I do think I'd like to stick in a make a Z180 type of computer. I think you could do a little niche group around such a thing that you were saying, okay, here's our little computer. Here's how you can make it go. You can do it with CPM, and as long as you don't sell it, it's free. In fact, it's practically in the public domain nowadays. Or you can come up with something. There are CPM replacements that have been put into the public domain now, or have been GPL'd altogether. And those would be cool little systems. If you could cook up some kind of easy, hook it up to a modern monitor type of thing, I think that would be a kick in the butt. Anyway, all this from Korn. Just amazing type. How did I ever get here? I think it came because I was talking about the Mother Earth News, how niche it was, and then it tried to go kind of general, and so it really kind of lost its focus, you know. It became kind of an organic gardening sort of knockoff magazine. And the only problem was there was other organic gardening magazines. And then one finds out that organic gardening was really kind of a it was something that exploded for a few years, and then after that, it kind of just petered off, you know. A lot of people stopped doing it. It was kind of a fad, and it left. But there was still that root group of people that found it fun and found it interesting. And so I think Mother Earth News has gotten back down to that, tried to pull itself back together as kind of what it originally started out as, kind of a back-to-the-land sort of thing, even though it's a very small group now that really kind of does the back-to-the-land kind of thing. And that's okay. You can do that. But the other magazines, in the meantime, came in and took part of that audience and got a good rapport going. And Mother Earth News is kind of suffering from the fact that it almost died, you know, in that it tried to become big and tried to follow a couple of weird trends and kind of lost some of its original appeal. It'd be really cool. And funny thing is, there was a couple of magazines that made it past that. Even one that kind of grew out of Mother Earth News' hometown. You know, it was Hendersonville, North Carolina. That, I don't think that's where it actually began, but when it came down to it, that's where it kind of ended up. And they had some neat editors and neat writers that kind of congregated around it and got close to it. And those people, after the the After Mother's News went big, these guys decided to start their own magazine, pretty much styled after the original one, and did pretty well. I don't know if anybody's getting rich off of it, but there's at least a family that's doing okay. And you know what? That sometimes is just the scale that you need, is to say we're going to do this, and we're going to go out there and try to find these people, and they're going to subscribe to our little magazine. And you have a web presence, because that's important anymore. But, you know, you give special perks to people who have the magazine. You know, you can do a cheaper version that's just the web only, you know, to let them be able to get into special areas. You give them special breaks, you know, special forums, things like that. I'm not sure how well those do. But, you know, it's just a cool thing. You know, people don't mind if you're making money off of it if you're perceived as being kind of on the small side. You know? People kind of, at least there are some people that really kind of like that kind of thing, being a part of kind of an exclusive little club. And that's wonderful. It's really great to make that kind of a world where you can do that. Anyway, so I'm coming to one of my turnoffs, and I'm going to go ahead and proceed on. I've been driving the whole time anyway. I always drive all the time if I'm out and about doing stuff. Anyway, so this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to episode number, I think it's 676. So I keep putting the water jug over the thing. Yeah, 676 corn. Corn goes to web publishing and print publishing. Anyway, this is Jay Nemro. Have a great day.